Moncrief on News Talk.
It is time for four questions. And once again, those questions are, what delighted you over the weekend? What annoyed you over the weekend? What did you learn? And what are you looking forward to? The people to answer them are Donal O'Donoghue and Dearan O'Connor. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Dearan, you were delighted over the weekend by just being by yourself?
Yes, it was a lot more exciting than it sounds. I had one of, I'd say, the top five greatest nights of my life, but it was almost foiled by my family and their children. So I had planned all week, I was looking forward to this big girls' pamper night. And then my mum informed me on Saturday morning that my sister and all of her kids were coming. So that would basically mean that I would have to be on the couch. So I was devastated.
Mm-hmm.
I had to make this night happen for myself. So I actually looked up hotels first and I was like, I'm just going to go somewhere in Ireland. I put the lowest price. Hotels are so expensive. So it was about €200 to go to Longford. So I said, you know what? I won't do that. But my lovely aunt has this fabulous little cottage and I actually lived there during COVID. So I said, that's it. I'm going to move into the cottage for the night. I packed up the car, put the duvet, my television, everything that I was going to need for the night. It was kind of like I was running away as a child, except it lasted longer than 45 minutes. I made it through the night. And once I got there, I moved in. I had a walk. I lit the fire. I had an everything shower that I feel like a woman needs to be here for that, to really appreciate what an everything shower is.
It's where I've got to ask though.
Yeah.
It's my job. What is an everything shower?
So you wash your hair, you scrub your skin until it's like almost bleeding.
Yeah.
It sounds lovely.
Yeah.
It feels good.
Yeah.
It feels like you're washing all of your worries away.
So you wash your hair and then you make yourself bleed.
And then I make myself bleed.
Yes.
Yeah, in a good way.
And anything else?
That's mostly
right.
It.
Okay.
But you know, it's not like a quick shower. It's one of those ones where, and maybe you put on something like smelly as well that smells good.
Okay.
And then you moisturize. I lit the fire. Did I mention that? Because that was a big factor in the situation. That was really nice.
I'm not a fan of everything showers because I've got five girls in my house, and when they have an everything shower, which is a thing, best way to use all the hot water.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everything shower can be 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Compared to a man shower, which can be 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like you'd really appreciate it if you tried. You should try it sometimes.
Okay. So you had your everything shower and then what did you do?
And then I ordered a takeaway.
Okay. What did you get?
I got a sweet chili satay crispy chicken.
Fancy.
Yeah. It was really nice. A spice box, noodles, and then for dessert, it was absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I went hard rather than home.
And there isn't a pick on you.
No.
Where does it go?
I don't know. Yeah. It goes into the strength, I suppose, that I had to use for the bleeding in the shower.
Yeah.
It
was okay. All right. That was a savage feat. Sorry. What did you get for dessert?
For dessert, I had pistachio and vanilla ice cream.
Okay.
And then I watched Gilmore Girls and fell asleep on the couch.
Okay. That sounds very nice. So a nice alone time.
Yeah.
What were the other four? You said it was one of the top five nights of your life. Can you think of any of the other four?
Oh, I feel like the other four probably involved more people. I can get kind of tired of myself sometimes.
Okay. If any of those people are listening and Dearan said to you, this is one of the top five. I'm sorry that she's kind of forgotten about it.
The one on my own was number one, obviously.
You know, there was that. What delighted you? Was Father's Day, of course. Don't
Father's
you?
Day was pretty good. Actually, it was great. And there was a few reasons for that. And normally I wouldn't be too into the kind of commercial kind of days like Mother's Day and Father's Day. But I thought this one was kind of special because it made me think of it from a few different dimensions. You know, the day was great. There was no chaos. It started, I got breakfast in bed, which was a lovely start to the day. But then I was just really thinking about, I'm very lucky that my dad is still with us. I'm very lucky to be a dad. I'm also very lucky to be a stepdad because you've got the kids that you have and then you've the kids you kind of choose.
Mm.
And then it just made me think about the people in my life, you know, that have had an impact, coaches, mentors along the way. And it was just a lovely day. It was lovely weather. And it just kind of felt really wholesome. I got to see my dad, got to see my kids. I was like, yeah, was good.
Okay, that was nice. But it wasn't just like breakfast in bed, now get up and pick the fence.
No, it was breakfast in bed. It was a couple of
and
nights.
And did you get it? You know the way you're going to go, tomorrow we'll give you breakfast in bed, and then you wake up and you're going, when are they going to bring it up?
No,
I've been awake for an hour now.
And that's one of the big challenges in our house, is that at the weekends, it's difficult enough to get teenagers up out of bed by 12 noon.
Yeah.
And it was timed perfectly. Callie got up. She had it all sorted and had it up by, I think, about 9 o'clock.
Okay, that's
really
impressive.
Nice. Yeah. It was really good and really wholesome. So, yeah. Father's Day, I'm back on board with it as a concept.
As a concept, yeah. Well, they do kind of make it, you know, around that weekend, newspapers run pieces about fathers, but then it's only one day.
It is only
is
one
it,
day.
And a controversial question, like mothers get a lot of attention through the rest of the course.
Oh, every day is Mother's Day, Sean,
so,
come
but,
on.
So, but, no, it just in terms of for all the work they do. But fathers only really get the one day. And we're then the rest of the time, they're kind of generally viewed as a bit useless.
I think men get enough, to be honest.
We are the unsung heroes. You know, we cut the grass, we put the bins out. You know, so, no, it was wholesome.
But I mean, but like, you know, nice dads aren't really your patriarchal sorts.
I celebrate my dad every day.
Yeah.
He's great.
It was Father's Day, but you shagged off to your auntie's
totally
house.
I forgot.
I've seen your dad dancing on TikTok and you forgot Father's Day?
Well, no, every day is Father's Day. So I treat him as special.
But you actually forgot on Father's Day.
No,
it was
I was
Father's
there for Father's Day. It was Saturday night.
But
and
did
then
you
I came
remember
back.
It was Father's Day when you came back?
I did, yeah.
Did you give him a box of chocolates or anything?
Yeah, I went in and I got him. He's really into his beard now, or lack thereof. So a while ago, I got him a shaver. And then yesterday I went in and I got him shaving cream, like all the little bits. He was thrilled with himself. And then a princess card. I always love the card.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
and he thinks of himself as a princess?
He thinks of me as a princess.
Yeah.
I think of myself as a princess.
Even though you're wearing a chain right now that says queen.
I like to shake it up every now and again.
Giving yourself a promotion there. So what annoyed you was standing at petrol stations. Or no, not, but you're in your car.
I'm in my car, yeah. And I think, is this one of the most rude situations you could ever be in? When the person in front of you fills their car up, looks you dead in the eye as you're sitting behind them waiting to use the pump, and then turns and walks into the shop to pay and leaves you there.
Okay. What should they move before they go to pay is what you're saying.
Yeah, I feel like they should. And everybody, sorry, I nearly fell off the chair there with the passion that I have about this. So everybody was doing it. This petrol station specifically was so busy, and I watched all of the people turn and go into the shop to pay for their petrol instead of moving the car for the people behind. So the man that had gone in to pay must have forgotten something in the car, turned around, came back, and then went to walk in again. And I said, not today. Yeah. So I gave him the most polite little beep.
And how did he react to that?
And he turned. First, I think he was going to pretend not to hear me. And then I was like, can he move the car, you know, so I can get to the petrol pump? Very passive aggressively, I feel. And then he did it. And I moved then, got my diesel. And then I was raging because I was like, now I have to
do the same thing. Well, was there somebody behind you?
No, but I felt like he was still there. And I was like, you know, I'm not a hypocrite unless someone can spot me, you know.
Yeah.
If someone could spot me, I'm not. And the other time I would have left it there if there was nobody behind me.
Yeah. Some people are texting in from the manosphere. Women have 5 or 6 days dedicated to them, from Nanaimon to International Women's Day.
Women produce full
but
humans.
But like that means 350, you know, or 300, sorry, maths, 360 days there where they don't really have days dedicated.
Exactly. More,
yeah.
I say.
Yeah. And what annoyed you was the departure of Jane. Leo Cullen's now gone as well from Leinster.
Yeah,
so they're abandoning all their management staff there. But the way James Lowe went, you felt was kind of a bit crappy.
It was a bit icky. So Friday night, I was watching the URC final, and it was great to see Leinster win back-to-back titles, and James Lowe helped them on the way. And he's been a brilliant player for Leinster. He's now the top try scorer. So he's scored more tries for Leinster than the fabulous Brian O'Driscoll. He's an unreal player. He's great for Ireland. He's great for Leinster. And the frustrating thing is, James Lowe wants to stay in Ireland. He's from New Zealand, but he's Irish qualified through residency. He's one of our top attacking players. He wants to stay. Leinster wanted him to stay. Andy Farrell wanted him to stay. But the contract negotiations broke down. So we're only, what, a year and a bit out from the World Cup. He would have been a key player in the World Cup. But because the powers that be, and it was in Leinster, because he wasn't centrally contracted, a lot of our international players...
It's kind of complicated the way people are paid, yes, and it's a exactly. bit from the club and a bit from the country.
Exactly, yeah. So he was contracted through Leinster. He wasn't centrally contracted, so the negotiation was up to Leinster. And the negotiation broke down, so their top try scorer, key player for Ireland over the last number of years... And the fans actually really want him to stay. So he's now going to be playing his club rugby down in Japan. So that URC final was his exit. So it was. Sometimes they say players don't get the ending they deserve. And I think James Lowe didn't. And yeah, that gut, I was gutted. It was like a kick in the guts.
And he won't be playing for Ireland anymore.
No,
then.
Because the rules are, if you're not playing your club rugby in Ireland, they won't select you. So obviously if he's playing down in Japan, he won't be brought into the Ireland camp. So... Got it.
But it's not really known what happened, it seems. Well, like, it seems like there was one kind of contract, which is the contract he's on now.
Yes.
And then suddenly they offered him a basic 50% pay cut, which seems a bit harsh, given everything you've described there.
Yeah. So I'm going to say allegedly, because they haven't publicly commented on this.
Yeah.
So to protect us.
Nor is he.
Well, he said that he's not happy with how it ended. But the story goes that he was offered a 1+1 deal, a year extension with the possibility of another year extension, and that it was kind of verbally agreed. But at the last minute, I think the view was, because he would be so motivated to play in the World Cup, that he was just offered a 1-year contract on a lower rate than he was on. So he was kind of put over a barrel, apparently, allegedly, and it just wasn't sustainable for him. So he's actually had to give up the prospect of playing in the World Cup to go and play his rugby in Japan.
That's harsh.
It is.
But sport can be harsh.
It can
really.
Be tough. It can be tough.
Yeah. I say let him stay. He can move into the cottage with me if he likes.
He can, yeah, but
and
you'll have
everything
to. You'll have to.
Okay. He's more than welcome into the everything shower. And he can light the fire.
So you learned how to cut your brother's hair with cattle shears. Is that essentially what you did at the weekend, Kieran?
So I learned, first of all, I suppose, that a person who shears animal hair is called a shearer, and the instrument that they use is a shears.
Yeah.
Because I would have always said a shearer.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you? You would have gone to the more difficult to pronounce word.
That's what I tend to do in life. I always take the difficult route. But yeah, so he had originally got the shearer for cattle, and I've actually found out, I think I told you that before, I'd wondered, you know, what was he going to shear with cattle? So he said it was for tails. But I still felt like that wasn't a proper description. You know, I still didn't really understand, like, what are you going to shear? Why do you need to shear the tails? So I rang him last night, but obviously he didn't answer, because the minute he leaves home, I'm like dead to him.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So then I text him and I said, just wondering exactly what the shears are for. You said cattle's tails, but why? And then quote, end quote, he said, trim up, not get the tail swinging full of shot. Beep.
Okay.
In
okay, I can see the point there, yeah, because it would be, swinging back
mouth.
And forth there, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was his mouth or the cow's mouth that the tail was going to go into, but I think it's when you're milking.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah. But you cut his hair with one of these yokes.
Yeah, he said, can you, like, shear my head? And obviously, I don't know if you'll believe me, I don't have much experience shearing animals or humans.
Yeah.
So naturally enough, I said, yeah. No problem, let's go. So he grabbed the chair, I grabbed the shears, and the two of us headed out into the field with one dream, and I sheared his head. And my
completely all the hair off.
All off, yeah. I actually, and no
that was
blood.
A bold fashion statement from him. Was there much hair to start with now?
There was, yeah, there was a lot of hair, and it was kind of everywhere. He looks like a different person. He's like a young Vin Diesel now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the shears that you used. Mm-hmm. Were also used for clip and tails,
and the dog.
Yeah, and so did they get a bit of an old wash before you went at your brother with them?
No, not at all. Only added more character. Yeah, it was rough enough now, to be honest with you.
Okay. Did he go for an everything wash after this? Because I'd say it's probably pretty important that he would do that.
I didn't. I didn't ask him, but I'm sure he showered at some point.
Can I ask, is this something that we could find on your social media? Because this sounds like gold content, or is this a kind of a private family moment?
Well, my 8-year-old niece did video the situation because I said maybe if I take a chunk out of his head with the shears, that would have the possibility of going viral. Yeah. I've also added sheep shearer / human shearer to my CV because if I can shear a human, I can shear a sheep.
Indeed. It could be a sideline. So one texter says, I like the idea of breakfast in bed, but in practice, I find it doesn't really work. Can't comfortably eat while lying down. Even if you have one of those trays that goes over your lap, it's hard to keep it steady. And the chances of tea, coffee spillage are high, not to mention crumbs. A lot of other people texting in to point out that there is an International Men's Day as well, which there is indeed. And a few people saying you're not obliged to move your car when you fill up at a petrol station. If you get into your car, the staff will think you're doing a runner, so they won't like it. I've checked this, says Pat. And a few other people saying you're not allowed to move your car until you pay.
I feel like they're just saying that so that they don't have to move the car. But I do. I feel like you kind of think, am I robbing it as you're moving it? But as long as you're aware with what you're doing, I feel like it's the better for society if you.
This is a bit of, well, but then again, yeah, at the same time, you could see how they might think that you're about to do a runner.
It would never cross my mind. I've never moved my car. I've always gone and paid. And sometimes even got a coffee.
No, I would definitely be beeping at you.
Cappuccino can be like 3 minutes.
It can be easily maybe a bun.
Oh,
wow. Maybe a bit of a, you know, just kind of a look around, see, can you get one of those little nameplates with the kids' names on it? What are coal sparks, Donal? Explain that.
Well, this is something that I learned. So we are getting married on New Year's Eve.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. And it's going to be an outdoor wedding, which is a bold thing to do in Ireland on New Year's Eve.
On New Year's Eve, yeah,
and
okay.
We're getting married in a forest. And you think it's New Year's Eve, so we'll have fireworks, but the hotel is in a woodland area, so you can't have fireworks. So we found something called coal sparks. And coal sparks are basically heatless kind of pyrotechnics. And then so we had this idea, we wanted to have coal sparks. But then as soon as you're booking anything for a wedding, they throw the saddle on and everything is really, really expensive. So anyone that was providing coal sparks, you had to book, you know, maybe a photo booth or a fancy, you know, flowers or, you know, different things that were kind of bundled because they're trying to extract as much of your children's inheritance from you as they can. but we eventually found somebody that would do just coal sparks on New Year's Eve for us. So that was a learning for me.
Yeah. And how do they work?
I have no idea. Yeah. But they go bang and...
And fly into the air and
fly into the world like a firework. And actually the kids were in a show, like a dance show, and they had them indoors. So like they're obviously safe. So they look like fireworks, but they're not. They're
cold
sparks. You should
get dry ice as well. And the two of you should be lowered down, you know, like aerial.
From a tree.
Yeah.
Could use some of the farm machinery potentially.
And it is New Year's Eve and you're in a forest. So are there... considerations in there in terms of if there's a monsoon or a massive gale blowing or that kind of stuff.
I think to be fair to the venue, I should say there's a hotel attached to it. So if the weather doesn't cooperate, you know, it can be done inside.
Okay.
You make that decision on the day.
Yeah.
But it's quite a lovely idea. You kind of walk in through the forest and then there's a kind of a woodland area that's kind of lit up and it's kind of cool. So,
magical.
And okay. There'll be cold sparks. So,
yeah. And fairy wings as well could be an idea.
Yeah. I hope that all works.
Yeah.
I really do. Frank in Sagres says, I own a petrol station, not allowed move car till fuel is paid for. It's a rule.
Really?
Yeah. It's a rule.
Right, okay. Well, I feel like this really delays everything.
Mary says, we've a toaster in the bedroom for hot toast with the breakfast in bed. I'm mad about myself, says Mary. That's leaning in. That's commitment, yeah.
Do you remember back in the 80s, people had an alarm clock that would make you a cup of tea or a cup of coffee?
Yeah.
It was called a tea's maid.
Yeah. Whoever went to the other setting them, and it's like bread makers. You go, ooh, the smell of baking bread in the morning. But then, you know, you use it twice and you go, ah, stop. My wife was shearing my hair during COVID. Day one, practiced on my hair before she sheared the dog. Good to know your place in the home, says Tony. Well, it's good you're what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to going to the dentist.
Nobody looks forward to going to the dentist. Yeah. That's something that might happen.
Yeah, I had an emotional morning now this morning. My tooth is actually going to fall out of my head, I think. The nerve pain. And I don't think the pistachio ice cream helps the situation either. So I'm pumped up now in painkillers. And yeah, I'm just really looking forward to it. I haven't eaten on the right side of my mouth for like a year. So
oh,
I can't
God.
Remember what that feels
that
like.
That could be serious then.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to
it. Is that like root canal stuff?
Yeah, I think it could be a root canal. So yeah, it's not good. I thought I'd gotten it fixed. Well, I'd gotten the bottom one taken out and I was like, great, you know, it's going to be all better now. I'll be able to eat in the right side of my mouth. And then I felt the nerve pain. Then I thought I got it fixed. And then I could still feel the hole when I was leaving the dentist. Went back in and he was like, yeah, you're going to need a root canal and that. So I've left it for like 6 months hoping that the problem
just to make sure it gets really bad.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, I hope you've saved up for it, or you better start shearing people's hair because you're talking like substantial amounts of money for
only.
That kind of stuff. Dawn, you're looking forward to the kids leaving the house and getting a job.
Well,
aren't we all?
Kind of. So the rule we have in our house is that when you're 16, you have to start working. You have to get a part-time job because we want them to understand the value of money. And so the 17-year-old, she's actually changing jobs at the moment. So she's done her first year. She worked in a local hotel. And now that she's got a year's experience, because she started there on minimum wage, and the minimum wage for 16-year-olds, like it tapers down, is lower. So there's a minimum wage for 16, 17, 18, all the way up to 19, I think. And it kind of ratchets up. So she has done her first year and then she went and she applied for another job, taking that year's experience, and she negotiated a pay increase of a couple of euros per hour for herself. So she's delighted. And the 16-year-old was out treading the streets with her CV, applying for jobs. And I think it's really important because we do a few things with them. We make sure that they are contributing to the household. So 10% of their net pay goes into what we call their housekeeping. So if they make 60 quid, 6 quid goes in. And it's that idea that that they contribute. It's that idea that when it's Father's Day or it's birthdays or it's Christmas, that they're actually getting a gift for somebody that they worked for and that they paid. And yeah, the pocket money is cut off at 16 and they start to work.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that increased housekeeping now as the 16-year-old starts to...
but the 16-year-old has started the search now, has she?
She started the search. She's had some good feedback. So she's learned the art of applying. Obviously, me being a recruiter, she's learned the art of applying with an email. She's learned the rejection of actually going into places and handing the CV in and seeing somebody literally throw it into the bin in front of her face. And then the art of the follow-up, which is there was one of the places that she dropped the CV in and they said, can you email it as well? And she did, and she got the name of the HR person. And then she put the follow-up call in to show a bit of initiative. And the person absolutely loved it. And she said, okay, let me check what hours you can do and we'll get back to you. So I'm looking forward to more taxpayers in the residence.
Okay, excellent stuff to look forward to. Donal and Darren, thank you both very much. That was Donal O'Donoghue and Darren O'Connor there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.